So you probably already know, and if you don't, I will tell you, I got sick this week. We know. And as members of the choir keep saying, again, weren't you just sick a couple weeks ago? Yes, and I am not sure what is going on. It's either some kind of cold or flu. I had a really bad fever. Wednesday, I had Bible study, went to the doctors for a physical, and then just went completely downhill after my physical, and just got this massive head cold that laid me out for about 3 days. So I spent all day Thursday, all day Friday, and all day Saturday really on my couch. It's funny, when I was younger and we stayed home sick, my mom would keep us home and we'd eat saltine crackers and drink ginger ale and watch The Price is Right with Bob Barker. As an adult, it turns out I sit on the couch, I eat saltines, I drink ginger ale, and now that I have Netflix, I watch NCIS. And so I watched probably 3 seasons of NCIS this week, which is great because it really distracts you from your massive head cold that makes your head feel like a balloon. On the other hand, now when I read scripture, I'm thinking about what would Gibbs do, you know, if he was here with Jesus. How would the team react and what would happen? NCIS has been on for 17 seasons. Mark Harmon has had a fantastic career as Leroy Jethro Gibbs, but I keep thinking about him in the back of my mind, and this will not be a sermon about NCIS, I promise. But at least to start with, I did find it interesting, and I'll explain why. NCIS, what has started to happen very quickly, again, when you watch like 36 episodes in 3 days. It's never the person you most suspect who did it. It's the person who you saw earlier and then they seem to have a good alibi and then Gibbs finds out. And then Gibbs always finds out. Gibbs always knows. And I think because I was watching so much NCIS, as I was meditating on the scripture, I think I found it funny that it's not who you'd expect in the story, it's someone else. That theme still comes through in the scripture that we read. What had happened in the story that Emma read this morning with Jesus coming off the boat from Gerasenes, he steps off the boat and a crowd gathers around him, and this man Jairus, the head of the synagogue, one of the ruling leaders of the synagogue, comes up right up to Jesus, this rabbi, and says, "Rabbi, come with me. My daughter is sick, and if you just touch her, she will be healed." And so Jesus goes. It's like an admiral coming up to Gibbs and saying, "Gibbs, we gotta go." The team puts on their backpacks and they drive out to the crime scene. Jesus and the disciples get on their way to Jairus' house, and there's a crowd pressing in on them, and this woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, this woman who has been defrauded by doctors, who has lost all of her money by doctors, this woman comes in the middle of the crowd and reaches out to just grab a little bit of Jesus' robe, and she is healed. And on the way to this important man's house, on the way to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus stops and says, "I felt power come from me. Power went out and someone touched me. Who touched me?" And the disciples look around and they think he's crazy. They go, "The crowd is pressing upon us. There are so many people, and yet you're going to stand here and ask, who touched me?" And I think Jairus, the whole time, this admiral, this synagogue leader, is looking at Jesus like, "My daughter is dying. We got to go. Why are you waiting?" And so Jesus stops. He stops for this woman who for 12 years has been sick. For 12 years who has been an outcast to society, who has lost all of her money, it says. Every single one of her dollars she has spent on doctors trying to heal her, who never did. And he stops and he talks to this woman and he says, "Woman, daughter, your faith has healed you." your faith has healed you. And looking at her face to face, he says, go in peace. And then word comes to Jairus, one of the servants, one of the naval sailors, comes to Jairus and says, your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And I can imagine Jairus' face saying, what in the world is going on? Jairus, the head of the synagogue, Jairus, who had faith to come and find Jesus as soon as he came off the boat, to kneel at Jesus' feet, to say, Jesus, I know that you can heal my daughter. If you just come and lay a hand on her, she will be healed. Why did you waste so much time with that woman? Why did you waste so much time in Gerasenes, in this Gentile land across the sea, healing one man and killing 2,000 pigs? Why did you waste so much time? I found you and I brought you and we were going to my daughter's house. You could have saved her, but you stopped for this unclean woman who was penniless, who was dirty, who was a nobody. And we know how the story ends. Jesus goes to Jairus' daughter. He tells them that she was just sleeping and raises her from the dead. But I think the problem in the text this morning is one that screams out loud to us. How come some people are healed by their faith and some people are not? How come some children are raised from the dead and others we have to bury? Why do some people get miracles and others do not? And this has nothing to do with whether or not we deserve them. This has to do with the hard question, the way too hard question of why does sometimes it seem too random? Why did Jesus wait before going to see Jairus' daughter? He knew that she was going to die. The woman was already healed. It says she felt her body being healed. Why did he stop to turn around and to look at her? Why didn't he just keep going to Jairus' daughter, knowing that she was going to be okay, knowing that she was already healed, knowing that she already would have lived a better life? Why did Jesus stop and turn around and wait and talk to her, especially once we know that Jairus' daughter dies? Why does God give miracles to those who need it? And also, why does God not give miracles to us who need it? In communion, in a little bit, we talked about this at youth group on Monday. We talk about the great mystery of faith. Do any of the youth group remember what the great mystery of faith was? It's that one sentence, we all say it together. Does any of the adults remember what the great mystery of faith is?
Christ has died.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. These mysteries of faith, these definitions of faith that are confusing and we don't understand them. How did Christ die if he is God? How was he able to be nailed to that cross? How did he rise again from the dead in that tomb? And how will he come back? That is a mystery of our faith. Why does God only heal some people? It's not a matter of faith. Jairus had faith. Jairus went right to Jesus, kneeled at his feet, and said, Jesus, I know that you can heal my daughter if you lay one hand on her. It's not just a matter of faith. The woman didn't need Jesus to lay his hands on her. The woman needed to reach out and grab just a corner of his robe. Why do some people die and others live? This is a mystery of faith. This is a struggle of faith. This is a question that each and every one of us go through. Each and every one of us question God. And sometimes we're like Job. Sometimes we tear our robes and we sit down in the street and we say, God, it would have been better if I had never been born. And sometimes we act like the woman and we reach out and we try to grab Jesus's robe. And sometimes we're like Jairus and we have faith, but when the world tells us that it's too late, we say, okay, it's too late. These are the struggles. These are the things that we wrestle with. These are the things that keep us up late at night. I don't have a life or death story, but I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning last night, staring at my fan spinning, hoping that I could fall asleep, praying that I could fall asleep, waiting, struggling, trying to get my mind to shut off, and I still don't know why. Why is it that some people are healed and others are not? I think maybe we look at it from a different angle. We saw last week, Jesus was with the demon-possessed man in Gerasene. No one could control him. No one could overpower him. No one could keep him in chains. He was beyond control. Jesus comes back to the Jewish lands, and he meets this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, who no one could help, who was beyond healing. He comes to this little girl who was 12 years old, who had died and no one could help, who was beyond life. He came to a country, he came to Israel, who had been oppressed and run over by the Romans, who no one could help, who was beyond freedom. Jesus came time and time again and showed us that God acts in ways that we never expect. That sometimes those in need of miracles receive a miracle, but other times God acts like those episodes of NCIS where who we think did it didn't actually do it. Where it's not the person who needs a miracle who always gets it. But Jesus comes and shows us that God is not done in either case. He's not done with the woman in the story. He's not done with the man who is demon-possessed. He's not done with the little girl. He's not done with Israel. And church, he is not done with us. He's not done with us because God is still performing miracles. But maybe we're like the woman and the miracle is evident. Maybe we just need to reach out and grab his robe and the miracle will be evident, but maybe we're like Jairus and maybe we're like the daughter and we feel like the miracles that take place and others will laugh at us. Or that miracles won't happen and we'll get nothing. Maybe we believe in miracles and in verse 40 that Paula read, people will laugh at us. Maybe we're like the demon-possessed man and we have given up hope. Given up hope that there will ever be a miracle, that there will ever be new life. Maybe we're like Israel and that the system has kept us down. And we have given up hope because of it. But what I think Jesus is showing us is that God is bigger and stronger and more creative than anyone has ever thought. That the rules of the world do not work for him. That he conquers death for Jairus' daughter. He heals the woman that the doctors have stolen all of her money. He performs miracles today for you and for me and for this church and for this community. God is not done. It's possible we won't see healing like the woman who bled for 12 years. It's possible that our prayers for a miracle will go unanswered, but our faith is not just in temporary healing. Our faith is in a God who's more powerful than that. Our faith is in a God who is up with us at 3 o'clock in the morning. Our faith is with a God who is sitting on that couch with us as we are watching NCIS. Our faith is in a God who loves us, who wants us to follow him, who wants us to get up and find him, to go and go on the journey into the crowd and to reach out and to try to grab his robe. Maybe the miracle isn't what we expect it to look like. Maybe the miracle is not what we want it to be, but when it does happen, when that miracle does happen, when Jesus turns around in the crowd to face you, when he stands there and he reaches out to you and he gives you his peace, when he faces us and he calls us by name, that is when everything will change. We worship a God purely who performs miracles and maybe not in the way that we expect them. Maybe not in the way that we've seen them in the past, but God is performing miracles today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.